Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How do I sign up for Halle Berry's call school? It's Hal Sutton. What? Oh, my God. I tune in every morning for the minimal golf talk. Okay. All right. Why was Bryson allowed to change his shaft during the round?
Because he snapped it.
He snapped it.
It's painful.
Because he's so strong. I'm Bryson DeChambeau!
Bryson, what are you implying?
Have you tested lately?
For COVID? I'm negative for COVID! Yeah!
And I'm positive I'm going to kick your ass!
Positive I'm about to snap your neck, pistol neck geek!
Like, what is this? Are you the Hulk Hogan? Are you an 80s wrestler?
Didn't I already tell you that yesterday his trainer said he doesn't do steroids?
I know, dude. 50 pounds of muscle is a lot of people gain that. Yeah. That's not a big deal during a pandemic to gain 50 pounds of muscle. To hit it 20 yards further and to snap the shaft nonstop on your driver.
Yeah.
Just like,
hey, if you can't compete with me, shaft, then beat it.
When you,
I need a new tough shaft.
Do they announce, like, now stepping up to the tee? Do they do that at certain tournaments? Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah.
Does he run out to this? The Ultimate
My
Warrior
God,
theme song?
That's Bryson DeChambeau's entry music!
I don't know what this is.
He gets his Ultimate Warrior, and he just comes walking down the walkway.
Hey.
Headband on.
If Gronk
can... Yeah! Ooh! I'm going to take this drive. I'm going to drive it all the way down.
That's Macho Man.
The middle of the fairway.
You're doing the Macho Man. That's not Ultimate Warrior.
I know. I went to Macho Man.
He's doing Macho Man right there.
Because, I don't know either of them.
Because Ultimate Warrior would just be saying crazy stuff about spaceships or whatever.
So would it surprise you if Gronk can be a wrestler?
He did hurt himself.
If Gronk could be a wrestler, Bryson DeChambeau would be a wrestler someday?
I feel like they're in that same area.
Let me ask you, would that be the first golfer to wrestler transition?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yes.
I'd say it's easily the first.
Look, yeah, by far.
I mean, Davis Love III made a little switch where he tried to be like Jimmy Cornette. But he had a sweater
he really put over
people's eyes. I can't see! At one point, he's got a sweater around me!
At one point, Tiger could have been.
What would be a golfer's finishing move, like just the club to the back of the head? Is that what it would be?
What about when the guy's down, somebody's holding, so it'd be somebody's holding the arms back behind him, and he stands up and he does a follow through where he smacks him in the face like, oh, he just long drove him! He just long drove him! Maybe something like that.
You need a great alter ego or nickname to be a golfer. So Craig Stadler, the Walrus, is a great
Right, the Walrus. Maybe. I was thinking of the Walrus. He could have maybe a while ago, but not anymore. What would Bryson DeChambeau be?
What would a good finishing move be? That's the only
one.
I
got to know about his background.
Because you generate a lot of power
maybe.
And torque.
I'm trying to think of a golf finishing move that you could actually perform on another human being. Because you can't just carry a golf club into the ring. Unless it's a no-holds-barred.
Well, what are you talking about? You can have a chair.
Yeah, but that's illegal.
I really think you put your hands together and you simulate a golf shot with a lot of torque You got. He has to bend the guy's face down, and then you smack it across the chin, and the guy goes down.
Like if you want to be a face, but if you want to be a heel, yeah, you just keep the golf club under the ring, and every time a referee's back, you hit your opponent. But if you want to actually win a match legally, you have to find a finishing move.
You're talking about legally.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's one. If I'm a manager.
Legally in wrestling. Yes. Okay.
If I'm a manager, what I do is I have one of the golf ball retriever. Because when you play with somebody who has a golf ball retriever in their bag, I always think like, oh, man. If I can't get it with a club, I'm letting it go. Maybe they could have a golf club retriever underneath, the manager, just like Jimmy Cornette used to have a tennis racket he hit people with, just a golf club retriever. When the ref's got his back turned, he extends it out because you can extend a golf ball retriever out and just smack him from outside the ring.
Oh, here's a good one. Brian says the ball washer finishing move.
What would that be? no, that's something you do in a corner.
Yeah.
You got him in a corner.
Jamie says, I'm digging this golf segment.
If you're a golfer, you have to have a great not a golfer. If you're a wrestler, you have to have good mic game. All the golfers' references would be, that's why you play from the ladies' tees.
What?
What are we talking about?
Let me tell you something right now. Let's go to Bryson DeChambeau. Hey, Bryson, how do you think it's going to go in Memphis, Tennessee? Tell the good folks in Memphis what they can expect. I'm going to tell you right now what you should expect this week from me. I'm playing from the tits all day, every day, and the ladies love it with the long shaft of my putter. Bryson, come on. Oh. Don't do the sexual golf stuff on this wrestling interview. Mm. Oh, yeah. Who wants to see the ball washer? Who wants to see the long, stiff shaft of my driver? I broke it last week, ladies, but it's back. Yeah. Bryson DeChambeau.
So he would drive the sex game. He goes,
yeah,
I know what
would.
You want, ladies. All your ladies want the hole in one.
Yes, I think he would use all the golf. I think he would use all the sexual innuendo golf stuff that's always been out there about the shaft and
ball washer.
Yeah, but you could use all of it because sexy Bryson plays from the tips. And while ladies tee Larry, and whoever he's going after, he'll ladies tee him. Let me tell you something, baby. I'm never in the sand. And when I do, I've got a sweet flop shot ready for you. Oh, yeah. And he hits you with a flex, and he walks off. He's got to have a manager
of some
sort.
And my opponent always plays with the putter. If you want a real man, you come to Bryson.
With the driver.
It's always going to be about
you want to be driven home.
Yeah.
You want me to drive it home, ladies?
Titanium! Yeah, and he'll be like, let me tell you something right now. Oversized head and titanium shaft. That's how we're driving it. Woo! And then all of a sudden you've got, I think it'll be Ricky Fowler will be the little weaselly manager. And let me tell you something else. When he can't do it, I'll come up and I'll hit the second chance, baby. Woo! Woo! And so he's the Weasley second wrestler. It'll be a tag team. Ricky Fowler and Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson's got the flex, and Ricky's probably going to grow his hair out like a little bit of a mullet. Kind of like
with that mustache.
Who was that? Not Jimmy Cornette. Who was the one who had the wrestling manager with the mustache and the sunglasses and the mullet?
Jimmy Snookum?
Jimmy Hart?
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, it was Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
He's going to have a Jimmy Hart because he does have a mustache now. I saw it.
Yeah, he does. Oh,
he's
bad.
Got a mustache now.
It's horrible.
It's terrible. I'm telling you, he could be wrestling manager, and he would definitely come in and do you dirty. He would definitely come in and do dirty stuff.
Ladies, when Bryson's done with his driver, get ready for my three wood.
He's always doing like, and he'll end his interviews like this.
Hey, Ricky, that's a little far.
DeChambeau, the Rambo, De Rambo. He could be De Rambo.
He could be.
Yeah. All right, let's. That's not a golf segment during the PGA Championship. That's not a golf segment.
It kind of was a golf
segment. That's not. It has nothing to do with the PGA Championship.
But Bryson DeChambeau shouldn't look like a pro wrestler then, and we wouldn't have to have that segment.
Mm,
don't gain 50 pounds of muscle during a pandemic. Oh!
Why don't they play wrestling theme songs when those guys get announced? Now approaching. I don't know what they say, but this is great. I would actually watch. And he had to develop a nickname or something. I don't know if the DeChambeau is good enough.
Do Rambo?
Always closest to the hole. Woo! To Rambo.
That would be his finishing move. The Ram.
John Rahm's name is Rambo. Ooh, see, he could fight John Rahm.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
If I saw two, if, okay, I'll just say this. If Bryson DeChambeau, I'm more likely to watch him in a wrestling match right now.
Same. He transitioned to wrestling, and he all he did was make golf references. I'm in.
I would totally watch that, because it's so sexual, the references.
Yeah.
The only thing that's even on par with it is draft talk about hip fluidity and hitting the hole and gap patrol and all this stuff. I mean, you got the innuendo of football and the innuendo of golf, and nothing even comes close.
So look at LSU. Brian's been sitting here waiting to talk about something relevant and not Bryson DeChambeau, wrestler.
Bring him on then.
Let's go. What's up, LSU Brian?
What's up, guys? Hey, John, sorry for pulling you off your golf segment, man.
No. Thank you. Thank you for getting us out of that golf segment.
What? I thought you liked talking golf, John.
I do. I still do. Go ahead, Brian.
But I wanted to kind of address Dale a little bit. Dale, when I called in a couple of days ago, talking about the SEC and football, I don't want to seem like that, you know, irrational, unrealistic SEC guy. Because I'm not. I am a little biased, but I'm not unrealistic. But the preseason rankings come out. And I still want to pose the same question as I did the other day, but I'll hit on the rankings for a little bit. So the SEC, three out of the top five, four of the eight, five out of 11, and six of the top 13 in the preseason rankings. So that does kind of back up my point. But with a lot of the notable games that aren't going to be played this year, you know, some big time games that would completely shake up the rankings, you know, with Michigan and Washington, you know, LSU and Texas. You got Tennessee and Oklahoma, Oregon and Ohio State. You know, some important games that aren't going to get played. So what my thinking is, with the SEC just beating each other up, especially now that, you know, you got a couple more games and with, you know, you got some high-ranked SEC teams in there, I'm really, out of any year, of course, this year's going to be completely different than anything else. And I'm just not sure how they're going to
why is it going to be different? Why is it going to be different than any other year? Alabama plays Georgia and beats Georgia in the championship game, or LSU and Alabama play every year, and LSU's still going to be ranked high because they're going to beat the other teams that they play. Well, if LSU, I think LSU being fifth is kind of ridiculous, losing 18 guys.
Oh, they can't possibly
And their coordinators.
If they were a stock, you would sell them nonstop right now. You'd sell short.
They're not finishing fifth.
But the games I'm really talking about, and it's not even the SEC games. It's the important games.
No, I get it. But they're still going to play their conference games, and the conference games are going to decide who the best. Oklahoma and Texas is going to Texas and Oklahoma State. These games are going to decide who the best teams are in those conferences. The SEC, as you said, is still getting the same love that they always get. And you know what? If Florida's going to win all of their games except when they play Georgia, one of them's going to come out. And no matter what they did in the preseason, if Florida beat Florida State in the preseason, so it's not going to matter because when they play Georgia, that's going to be the game that's going to decide where they're going to end up in the final polls anyway. So I don't know how – I get it. There are some important games that were going to be played. But Texas losing to – LSU last year, they still had a chance to run through the Big 12, and they could have possibly been. If that was their only loss, they could have. They would have been in the playoff. But they didn't. So it really didn't. LSU beating Texas really didn't propel them to the now. That was when Coach said, "I knew we had a great team when they went to Texas and won that game." But beating Alabama, winning the SEC, and they went undefeated through the SEC, they'd still be in the same place, even without the Texas game. They'd still been in the same place. So they got to, you know what, now you just got to win. Oh, yeah. And I don't think it's going to be much different. It's going to come down to Ohio State, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. It's going to come down to You know, they're not playing Wisconsin. They might meet in the championship game. And oh, by the way, Wisconsin did lead at the half against Ohio State, but Ohio State came through and won that game. I honestly, without the preseason games, is it going to be any different?
I'm trying to think because there's some big matchups. Like, it would have been Ohio State, Oregon this year. But, I mean, Oregon lost to Auburn. If they had beat Arizona State, and then when they went on to beat Utah, they would have been in the playoff. The conference will decide things. Now, some of it has to do with how do you compare these teams if you don't have the major conference match, out-of-conference matchups. But the conference championship, the conference games have always decided, particularly if you're a really good team. If you run through your conference,
that's right.
You're going to be fine.
Now, let's say, here's the thing. What you're going to miss out on, let's say Oklahoma plays somebody big or Texas plays LSU, loses that game but runs through the Big 12. Now they might have a hard time getting to the playoff. They won't. The lesser conferences, the SEC is going to still be represented. We know that, right? Whoever is the champ of the SEC, they're going to be represented. More than likely, Ohio State, and if Michigan wins that game, they're going to be represented. The only thing to what it's going to do is, like, the Pac-12 champ, they're not going to. Did you feel good about Oregon playing? Oregon had a big game this preseason.
They were going to host Ohio State at home.
Ohio State. Yeah. Well, that would have gone poorly for them. Now, if Oregon runs through the Pac-12, they got a chance of actually getting there. Now, they wouldn't have had a chance if they got their ass handed to them by Ohio State.
The way the game went would have determined it because they lost to Auburn in the last seconds and last year. And like I said, if they would have beat Arizona State on the road, they would have been in the playoff. How you look certainly plays a big deal, even if you lose. And if they would have got their ass kicked, they would have had a problem.
Right, absolutely. All right, 8:16. Okay, yeah. We'll continue it on the other side. But let's talk right now about Absolute Marble and Granite and Jeff Aronoff, my man. He is going to come over and he's doing work for us on our countertops and our outdoor kitchen outside because Jeff, that's what Jeff Aronoff do. Yeah, we had him over the other day. He looked it all over, said, easy. Well, this is an easy job. We'll get this job done. And you know what? That's the kind of company. And no matter what, he'll bring you over all the stuff here. And he knows. He knew exactly what my wife was talking about. She wanted to do this. And he goes, I can do that. We can do it. Let's do this and this. And we're sitting there talking. And we got to do this over here at this on this counter as well because so that it matches. And it was like, oh, this is easy. This is simple. And this is what Jeff does every day. And you know what? He was talking about some place, some apartment building. And he was like, well, I put in all the vanities at that place. I know the kind of workmanship that they had over there with the rest of the building. And so this is what Jeff is doing every single day. No job is too big. Plenty are too small. No job is too big for Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. So you have some redecorating to do. Give him a call. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, following back up on what we were just talking about with college football and the potential playoffs, I think one of the real concerns with not having pregame, out-of-conference scheduled games is that every once in a while you have an upset or whatever. But what it does allow you to do, this is a very small sample size of games already to determine a national a playoff spot. Now you're asking for fewer games. And remember, some of those games are going to either provide more juice to your schedule or really, become an argument against your schedule. You take those games out, and that's just even fewer games to look at. Because if you have a power five out-of-conference games that include, a decent power five conference team, that's a big advantage for you when it comes time to decide between teams for the playoffs. And now those are being eliminated too. And I'm not talking about, I mean, somebody just playing a Virginia Tech or somebody playing a North Carolina or, maybe a Purdue or a Washington State, as opposed to a Citadel or an East Carolina or whoever the team would be. Those out of conference schedules, every once in a while, you can look at three games and say, "Hey, you know what? Not that this is murderer's row, but this is definitely much better than this team's, three teams out of conference schedule." And so, the fewer games you have, the less you have to determine who should be in the playoffs. And that's going to be very tough from a subjective standpoint to come up with. It's already tough. It's already challenging. You usually have losses at the end of the year, which help make a case for or against the team, wins or losses. But now I think this is just going to confuse it even more when you have only 10 games that you're looking at. Because that's what you're going to have, only 10. So if you're going with a 9+1, you better make that one count if you're in a average conference. I guess the argument could be, well, if you were Clemson, you don't want to have a tough plus one, because if you can cruise through the you're already going to get there.
So is the yeah, and I asked Summy when he was at Texas A&M. I was like, Summy, look at your schedule, bro. What are you doing?
It was soft.
It was soft.
Yeah,
he
but
said,
they had,
okay. He said, okay, hey, Alex, if we run through the SEC, do you think we'll make the playoff? Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, so
well,
I don't
why
need
I was
that.
Soft.
Yeah. That's
and,
why.
That's why I was soft. I mean, you know, if you play an SEC schedule, I got news for you. If you're in the SEC West, really SEC schedule, I'm not really trying to schedule the hardest games I can find.
But they do.
But
Bama
sometimes,
does. LSU does. I mean,
sometimes
they're not scared of it.
Well, yeah, but A&M was not in the same position.
No, obviously. But that's the point is if you run through the conference, SEC, the Big 12 more than likely. You know Ohio State, if it runs through it, they're in the playoff. They just are. Even with a loss, they might get there. They probably get there because they got to get through the Big 10. Quite possibly a one loss, more than likely a one loss Big 12 team is there as well. And then the Pac-12 has got to, the problem with the Pac-12 is they have not had anybody that's been dominant. They can't avoid, they're beating each other up. No, they don't have a dominant team. They just don't have a dominant, because the other teams are just not that good. Oregon losing to Arizona State late in the season, that's terrible. You can't do that when you're fighting to get into the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have it. And then they look like crap against Utah as well. And that's going to be the case here too. You have two losses in conference. Guess what? You're not getting there.
Well, they beat Utah, right? In the championship game?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. They beat you. Yeah, it was Utah that could have gotten there.
Utah could have gotten there. Yeah.
But Oregon losing to
Utah
Arizona State.
Utah should have gotten there. Yeah. Utah looked like trash.
Right.
And so did Justin Herbert.
That's it. Yes. But because you know what, you hiccuped early in the season against Auburn, and then you lost again against Arizona State. Guess what? They should have beat Auburn. They should have beat Auburn.
Well, they had to lead the entire game until the final Auburn drive.
Yeah. Right. Well, now that changed the course of the history. Lose it. If they didn't have that game, they lost to Arizona State late.
It was a close one.
Would they have gotten there?
If they had Auburn,
without the Auburn game.
They beat Auburn, lose a close one to Arizona State, and then beat Utah.
But no, let's say they didn't play Auburn, because you can't say beat.
Okay,
because an Auburn win would have meant something.
Okay, if they don't play Auburn, lose to Arizona State, and then beat Utah, who was like a top 4 or 5 team at the time.
They probably get there.
Likely, because remember Alabama got dropped. They lost to Auburn last game of the season, so one of the obstacles would have been out of the way. That's a 2-loss Alabama team. And then you're picking between them and Oklahoma. So you're taking Oregon over Oklahoma last year.
I think it would have been 6-1, half dozen the other. They were both going to get their ass
kicked
by LSU.
Who wins it?
But they might. I don't know. Pac-12 is so lightly regarded. You're going to have to be. You're going to have to run the table in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Unless you're named USC. USC will. If USC
they
play,
get the Notre Dame bump.
Yeah, that's the difference. Like Oregon may.
Not this
it's not
year.
There yet. No, not this. Well, they don't. They won't have enough of a boost of a schedule, but USC is one of those schools where they could go 11-1 and they would still get in because they're USC.
Yeah, probably. Nobody else has got that kind of.
No, Oregon's a little bit below them as far as that's concerned, as far as reputation and
stuff. Yep. So I think it's going to be, you know what, we're going to find who the best teams are in conference. I think it's going to be, you know what, that one example of not playing Auburn probably is a big difference maker. But was there any other game? Like I said, LSU doesn't play Texas. They're still there.
Well, yeah. But
he went to Alabama and won.
It has a lot to do with the conference, and the Pac-12 is susceptible. Clemson, its reputation is so good, they can play no one in non-conference.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter for them.
And Ohio State, they don't need an out-of-conference win to get there.
No, they had scheduled one, a big one, but on the road, but they don't need one. They're one of the teams that don't need one.
What was LSU ranked at the time when they played Texas? Do you remember?
Probably 13th or 14th.
Sixth.
Sixth?
I don't remember them being that high.
Yeah, they're either. Well, they're coming off a 11-12 win season.
Uh-huh. They were 2-0 at the time, and Texas was ninth.
I think their ranking this year is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's just like, okay, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt because you're national champs and all that stuff. But obviously,
Ed Ogeron's like, hey.
From a handicapping standpoint, they're not going to be one of the top five teams on the board.
I'm just being realistic. When you lose all the guys that they've lost.
No, but if you're Ed Ogeron, now you won a national title, so you're fine. But if you're coming back, you're like, could you not rank us sixth in the country? Yeah. You know how much we have to replace? Maybe make us like 15 or
here
so.
Here it is.
Because now the expectations are still. Well, listen, Tiger fans, I'm telling you right now, they're as unrealistic as I've seen them. As stupidly unrealistic as those fans of that fan base has been, I think they're realistic about this year.
Hey, so it's kind of big news. It came out last night, late.
Want to do it on the other side?
Yeah, it has to do with college football.
Okay, 827 ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, we're wearing a mask now. That's the new reality. You got to wear a mask. Okay, so do you want one first of all that you can breathe in? Yes, that's a key. I want to be able, because that if you can't breathe in them, then it's that you're not going to wear it. It's going to be unbearable. You want it to be you want it to be so you don't even feel like you got it. But these are the most breathable masks, the Boomer Naturals. And then secondly, you want it to protect you. Otherwise, why are you wearing one? You want it to protect you and everybody around you. Why are you wearing them? Well, this has technology that nobody else has, nano silver technology, and it can block those tiny drops. That it lasts a month. It's cloth. You can wash it every night. You just put it in some soapy water and you let it dry overnight. There it is. You got your mask again tomorrow. Now it'll last about a month, and it's so good. And listen, if you're looking for, and this is a really neat company too, because every one that they sell, they donate to a charity too. So they also offer the popular nano silver neck gaiters. You like those, the Bandito ones where you pull it up and you could rob a bank? Those, you can get those as well. If you're looking for a great mask, BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code Granato, Granato. Granato, get shipping and handling free when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:30 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. What's the story, Lance?
The story is... The Big Sky Conference is moving forward with plans to play an 8-game conference schedule in the spring. Due to conditions from the coronavirus pandemic, multiple sources confirmed to ESPN, a move that would likely result in the cancellation of the FCS playoffs. 6 other FCS football conferences have already canceled their fall seasons, and without the Big Sky's 13 teams, FCS would no longer have the number of participating teams necessary to conduct a championship event. So we're seeing a championship event that is going to potentially go down. But what we're seeing now is a slow but steady migration, and it's going to be a trickle-up scenario for me. You saw the SWAC, for example, made their designation. The FCS is going to do it. We are seeing a migration to the spring for spring football. Now, this is completely necessary for those teams to do this because they have to have their revenue. And right now it's just too hard to project. I mean, we're not that far out from football season. We're in August. And if they can't, even if this is fluid, you really are like 2 or 3 months away from knowing where you are. And they're just saying, look, we're not going to do it. We'll just move to the spring. We're going to cancel our FCS playoffs, unfortunately, for this year. That's going to hurt them financially. But the idea probably is going to be for a lot of these conferences is, listen, while there are going to be some logistical concerns, there's a better chance of having people in the stands after a potential virus is disseminated. And we'll see what spring football means, because for a lot of these teams, they're playing in colder weather. However, and it's not like even if you have, I know Trump has made some comments about potentially a vaccine in November. They're going to be very careful with getting something that hasn't been tested enough out to the public. That's got to be the number one thing, is making sure it's safe. Fauci has talked about January. The question is going to be, when is it available to the general public in mass? Because that's going to determine whether or not teams can get it, players can get it, fans can get it, you know, things like that. And I am not willing to rule out college football where non-Power 5, not just the FCS, but now non-Power 5 conferences consider that move if they feel like they could have 2 week shutdowns of their college football season. They're already not going to be playing in front of a lot of people anyway, depending on what their states allow them to do. And I just wonder if they say, you know what, from a financial standpoint, we make more money in the spring. If they can determine that, then maybe that's something that they do. Will college basketball be moved, you know, pushed back to a later starting time? I think that's reasonable to potentially do that. But schedule, travel, I mean, it's tough. It's starting to look more and more like this is definitely going to have an impact on 2021 athletics as well. Not just 2020. I don't see how – I mean, 2021 is definitely going to be impacted.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, do we care about the – I mean, I'm sure those schools all do. But for the most part, I mean, do you foresee the NFL not playing?
No, I don't foresee that, but here's the thing.
And I don't foresee that that Division I football won't play either.
Well, the college, no, I think they have to play.
Yeah.
But depending on the amount of, I don't even think the opt-outs matter, because you're going to have a ton of opt-outs in the spring also. I just think if they're not sure if they can, if they have another outbreak in baseball like we saw previously, if something happens again where they say we just can't, or if it happens in baseball and basketball, if a team gets it in basketball, I just don't know that college football won't say, man, I don't know how we're going to be able to get this done.
Why?
I know they have to try.
I think what they're seeing is, look at the Marlins. You know what? They waited a week and then they were back. You know what? And everything's fine. They literally had how many guys did they have? What did they end
19.
Up with? 19? And they're playing baseball.
Players and coaches combined, I think, was about 19.
But they have money for testing. Colleges don't.
Yes, they do. Oh, major colleges are testing.
Major colleges, but they're not going to be able to test as much as.
Well, that's all they're playing is major colleges right now.
Who's paying for it?
Who's the schools are.
The schools are going to be losing money.
They're paying for it, Lance. University of Houston doesn't have any money. You know what they're doing? They're testing.
I mean,
and they're testing like crazy.
How often? But can they keep it up throughout the year?
Absolutely.
Can everybody in their conference? That's the question.
Well,
it's
sure.
Not just one school. It's. Can every team, can the teams who don't have Tillman Fertitta do it?
Well, which is why...
Because Tillman owns
Tillman Fertitta, bro.
Tillman owns the
Cougars. Going, hey, you're on your own on this one, bro.
Oh, that's true.
Probably. I don't know. I don't know what Tillman's committed to this year with them, but I'm sure it's got to be scary for everybody involved.
Why wouldn't they consider doing it in the spring?
But they are. They're just going to do it. That's all.
No, but why wouldn't they consider, if you think you have a better chance of getting it done in the spring and having people in the spring, why wouldn't you? It's got to be from a logistics standpoint, because you almost have to tell the NFL, look, I'm glad we're your feeder system and all that stuff, but we got to do what's best for us. We can't worry about what your schedule of draft is and when your combine is and what your league schedule is. We're trying to survive over here, and we need as many people in the stands as we can. We need to sell our suites. We need to have, you know, because colleges need to bring every year they work. I mean, there are colleges that are losing money every year anyway in sports. Now you're really going to kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why a lot of conferences, especially smaller ones, would say, nah.
Well,
we're not
actually,
doing this in the fall.
Actually, you know what they're doing? The exact opposite. The Sun Belt, you know what they're doing? They're playing all their games. Screw you. We're going to play 12. They're doing the exact opposite of that.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
We have to see if they can execute.
Well, that. Now, if the Sun Belt can't do it, I can see it. Okay. But the SEC's going, we ain't the Sun Belt. You know what we're going to do? We're going to test. We're going to spend the money. It's going to cost us money, but we're playing.
It is easier for them. No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know that everyone can do that. I didn't mention Power 5. I said not. Group of five. Power 5 is going to do
everything. The American has more money than the Sun Belt. The American has more money than Mountain West. The American wants to be. The American thinks, here's what the plan is for the American. That they're going to be, it's going to be group of six, it's going to be Power 6.
Well, the American, this is a political play for them.
That's right.
To try, and I get that.
And they're going to spend the money to get it done.
I get that. I get that. But for most of the other conferences, I'm not sure that it doesn't make more sense to try it in the spring.
Well, because, it might, but why? Then why aren't they? Because maybe
I don't know.
They value being a part of a 2020 fall season more than whatever money they might lose. Because
yeah, maybe
the conference USA.
What's the advantages do you think?
I think maybe it's more perception. Hey, we don't want to be put in that
FCS group.
Yeah, we don't want to be part of that, despite what the reality is. Because everyone knows, without saying it out loud, you're a lesser than. You're not even the American. But they don't want that out there.
That's a really good point, because what they're dealing with, we already know there's haves and have-nots, but the amount of whispers behind the scenes that there will eventually be the parting of the FCS, a break-off from all the other conferences, I mean, you might be onto something there, because if you give in and go to the spring, maybe you might as well be saying, even though I think if the FCS wants to leave, if the Power Five wants to leave, they don't care if you play in the fall or spring. I don't care where you play. You ain't coming with us anyway. That may be the reality of it for the American. Mm-hmm. That may be the reality of it for every other conference. Is like, hey, whether y'all play in the spring or fall, I just want y'all to know, y'all ain't coming. We're not sharing any more money with anyone else, except maybe a couple teams or whatever. You know, Houston is in a good market. That's beneficial. However, I think one of the issues is just saying move it to the spring is easy to say out loud, but the logistics of doing that and running basketball and running the other spring sports maybe is a little bit more challenging. Maybe just saying stuff like, move it to the spring. Yeah, that sounds great in theory. Everyone gets vaccine shots and everything goes back to quote-unquote normal. And absolutely, let's just move it to the spring. But I'm not sure that it's really as easy as just saying that out loud,
and
to be honest.
Yeah, let's think of small conferences. The Mountain West players have done their own Players Unite thing. Less dramatic than the Pac-12. This is all about safety. They want to be made – They want to be given assurances that you'll be testing regularly. I think a lot of their stuff is in line with the NCAA. They want to be tested weekly, 72 hours before competition. They want their facilities clean up to the standards of the CDC, and they also want to be not lose a year of eligibility. Say they play like four games, which is the standard for all right. That's an eligible year for a player, and then they miss the next seven or however many because of COVID. They want that year given back to them because COVID was the reason they didn't get to play, not a normal injury. So they have some demands, but it's all about health, not money. So this might be an easier thing for the Mountain West to get behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marvin Wilson, did you guys talk about this yesterday?
No.
I think it came out later. Florida State defensive tackle Marvin Wilson.
From Episcopal High School?
Yep, went back to school last year. With college stars beginning to opt out, let's see. Ron, I didn't realize. I got to look at the new list of
Rondell
college.
Moore yesterday and Greg.
Ooh,
Rousseau.
Wow, the list is growing quick.
Well,
Rondell Moore and Gregory Rousseau, who Daniel Jeremiah yesterday said he's the best player he's seen
from
the class. I didn't realize he had him that high. I got to look at it. Micah Parsons. I'm looking at. See, Caleb Farley. I already wrote up. I don't see anybody on this list. It's interesting. I don't see anybody on this list that went back to school. So far, all the guys that went back to school, it's almost like, man, I ain't opting out. I went back to school. I could have gone to the draft last year. Marvin Wilson had a very strong statement. He made it clear Thursday he plans to suit up this fall. Quote, as far as opting out and different things like that, I didn't come back to sit out or opt out or go prepare for the league. I think this is just taking the easy way out. For me personally, I came back here. I have work here to do in Tallahassee, and I'm going to get that done. Wilson's regarded as a probable first-round pick and could come in as high as number 10, yada, yada, yada. But he reiterated the feeling Thursday, just as news broke that defensive lineman Gregory Rousseau, a star at Miami, is opting out of the season. Wilson said he's simply come too far now to just turn back around. I put too much work into this program. I put too much emphasis into some of these young guys' lives. I feel like that would be a form of quitting. In my opinion, to just opt out at this last moment right before the season, we worked too hard all together during the offseason. This pandemic, tough times, to just give up, I feel like that would be disrespectful to them, of showing them the way of being a true Noel. I don't rock out like that. I'm definitely going to play this season and give it my all.
What was the kid that said from the Pac-12, said, I ain't part of this. No, I agree. I love what you guys are doing. The the group from the Pac-12 that
we
was...
We Are United, yeah.
Yeah, the United. Yeah, We Are United. He said, but I got to play.
Yeah, he was a West Virginia transfer, Lamonte McDougal. He goes, I understand this all of what's going on, but I got too many people who depend on me, so I got to play this year. So NCAA, you want me to be your lab rat? That's fine.
Dude,
that's
there are players like anybody who's coming from a JUCO over to a major college.
Hell
like,
yeah.
They're like, dude, I need to play. No, I'm trying to get to the
and
league.
And again, but that's going to be the dangerous part is those kids, all these kids that are just desperate to play football. And most of the kids are. They just want to play football. Is that they're going to – you worry that they might not share their health because they don't want – listen, you don't think – do you think a coach looks at you differently if you're opting out? Do you think the NFL looks at you differently if you're opting out?
No, I don't think the NFL will.
I don't know.
If you're talented, you're talented.
I don't know. Well, right.
If you're talented,
man, you know what? They're going to look at a guy with, you know, all things being equal. Man, that guy's got – he wanted to play. He just loves football. He can't stay away from football.
On the flip side of this, I'm going to tell you right now, there are going to be teams who read what Marvin Wilson said. Now, those are words. What Marvin Wilson said basically – forget the pandemic for him to make comments that he's looking out for younger players. This is the way I came. You know, he went back to school. The commitment that's going to play positively in his
favor.
Now, whatever your tape is, your tape is. Whatever your body type is, your body type is. Whatever you know, all this and that. But I liked Marvin Wilson when I saw him last year. I think he's got ability, and for him to say what he said, they're going to look at that and say, you know, that's leadership. Now, in words, you know. They'll talk to coaches and find, and the coaches will tell him what they think of him as a player and a person behind the scenes. But yeah, that's going to play favorably for him. I don't think you can kill a kid for opting out right now. But there are going to be some other guys who opt out, who coaches were already going to say, I mean, he opted out, but nothing from nothing. He wasn't a hard worker. He wasn't a guy who practiced. He missed study hall and stuff like that. Those guys were going to get killed anyway.
Now, it looks like Gregory Rousseau had some first-hand experience, or second at least, because his brother spoke to The Athletic's Manny Navarro through a tweet. Manny Navarro says spoke to Gregory Rousseau's brother a little while ago. Says the unknown long-term effects of coronavirus played the primary role in his decision to opt out the season. Their mother is an emergency Their mother is an emergency room nurse and has seen a lot of young adults die from the virus.
Yeah.
So his mom is a nurse and
That you know what, if you can explain it and I've got health issues or people in my family's got health, have got health issues, all of those things, absolutely. But just opting out and saying, nah, I ain't gonna do it, that is gonna affect how the NFL's gonna look
Caleb
at you.
Caleb Farley said he had lost a parent already in his and he said he didn't want to put another one at risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
why that makes sense. Yeah. 844 ESPN 97.5. Time for, you know what else makes sense is HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. We've been talking about him for years now, and with Mike Holly and Plotkin and Kevin and Chris and all the guys over there, you're going to get to know them. They're going to come to your place of business, and they're going to ask you the questions that are pertinent to your business and theirs, and they're going to come up with a customized plan for you. It's not cookie cutter. This is what we charge, and that's why we got rid of our last one. When we grew as a company, they were like, no, this is what we charge, and we will not come off of that. And we were like, no, we're big. When you buy more, when you go to the big box stores, you get it for less because we're buying more, right? And that's the same thing with payroll. The more employees you have, the better. And you know what? Because it's more economical for HR&P as well. So listen, when you want, you're going to get a company that's knowledgeable, that's going to take care of your Affordable Care Act, that's going to take care of all your questions with the PPP and small business loans. They're doing everything for us. And you are going to have a company that you're going to love. I'm telling you, we do. Laura Beavers does. Ask her. You can call up here and ask her about HRP. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Your Rockets looked good last night. If you were listening yesterday, you made a little money. That is simply the case because I told you The Lakers, they ain't playing. LeBron sat. Of course, Russ sat as well. He hasn't played a back-to-back this year, and he wasn't going to. And the Rockets still took care of business. James looked good last night. James had himself a fourth quarter. James took over that game. That's what James is supposed to do. James against Anthony Davis? I like that. You'll take that any day. James against LeBron? I don't know. But look, even at full strength during the regular season, the Rockets took care of the Lakers. They're just too dumb to play. Why not just throw it down low?
It's not too dumb. There's a lack of talent at the guard position for the Lakers.
Then take advantage of your height.
Well, fine. That's fine. But how many times? You still got to make perimeter shots, and the Lakers guards are not good.
Why do you got to make perimeter shots? Just dump it down low.
Anthony Davis is not going to score 70 because he's not.
Even, well, Anthony Davis can put up 40. He absolutely can.
He can put up 40, but if he's the only one on the floor, he's not good enough to carry a team. He's already proven that.
They're too dumb. They're just too dumb to
they're
win.
They're not. Too dumb or not, the Rockets aren't just going to simply allow you to score 50.
The Rockets have nothing to say about it.
They certainly do.
They have a bunch of little people.
We've heard a bunch of little fellas on the floor. They have multiple guys, particularly PJ and James, for all the crap that we give them as far as their defensive deficiencies on the perimeter. They're pretty good in the post. And we know the NBA is not a post league anymore. Anthony Davis doesn't want to spend time in the post. That's not who he is. It's never been who he is. So I don't think it's going to change for one game. Now, it might change over a 7-game series because they might figure out, hey, if we don't do this, you're going to lose.
This is not the first time now. We've seen Anthony Davis do this multiple times.
He's not that guy.
You can't just flip a switch and say, okay, I'm playing in the post now. He's a guard who had a shooting – who had an insane growth spurt in high school. And when you watch him move, he's still just a guard. He's a great big guard in a big man's body. And he moves great. He's fluid. He's athletic. He's super talented. But he's not a dog when it comes getting in the low post and just saying, okay, watch what I'm getting ready to do to you, little person.
Yeah, he's not. John. And you know what? He's probably not stronger than P.J. Tucker either. So you're not going to –
in the leverage game, he gets up under him.
Yeah, so you're not going to dump it down to him every time down the floor. He's going to get you a bucket every time. It's not who he is. And like you said, he's not –
Well, then turn into it.
You're not going to do it in the middle of a year.
You're going to do it right now.
No, you're not. Clearly, you're not.
How about in the middle of a series, a 7-game series?
Well,
If they're too stupid to play tall ball – Then they're too
it's
stupid.
Not about being too
then
stupid.
I hope the Rockets beat
he
their ass.
He probably doesn't have the skill level to do it right now because he doesn't do it. Anthony Davis has never been a post guy.
Yeah, I hope they beat their ass anyway.
It's not about dumb.
But if I'm a Laker fan, I'm going to be pissed. How can we have this size advantage and you guys are too stupid to take advantage of it?
Once again, I don't think it's about being dumb. Anthony Davis has never been a guy who you dump it down to 40 times a game because that's not who he's ever been. So
turn into it.
It's not that doesn't happen over.
Change your game.
That doesn't happen over a 20-game span.
We're saying
in the bubble.
The Rockets are better.
Is there any chance LeBron set out because he didn't want to lose yesterday to James?
No.
That was an intentional.
No.
Remember how people used to avoid Randy Johnson when he was going to pitch?
Yeah.
And they'd like, oh, God, bad shoulder. When lefties would try to avoid
Randy.
You
think he is afraid?
Bail on Ben McLemore and Covington matchup?
I think locking up the number one seed, it was like, okay, whatever. I got a groin. I'm just not going
to
play.
Yeah, they got the number one seed. They don't have to
play. So they're 2-3 now. I'm never a fan of just like effing off games and losing games and coming in. Like, to me, your headspace into a playoffs, we've just seen this too many times. Teams that get on a roll, stay on a roll in the playoffs. I think it's dangerous to not be playing decent basketball.
Never affected
late in
a LeBron
season.
Team before.
I know, but that offense is not looking good. This is such a we're in a bubble. There are no home court fans. I just wonder how struggling offensively, which is something that the Lakers are doing with or without LeBron, they're very inconsistent, if that can win you games in today's NBA. It used to be, well, if you're high-flying, it doesn't matter because it's going to slow down. It's a half-court game defensively, blah, blah, blah. And the Warriors were the outlier in that, but even then, you know, but they play good defense. Like, some of those scores were not crazy in the postseason. I don't know. It feels different right now. The tempo is hot in the bubble. More teams are shooting. The Mavs shot 48 threes yesterday. And not that the Mavs are the team to beat at all, but I just think it's going to be really tough. If you can't get some points on the board in today's NBA, you're going to struggle. You're going to have, and I don't, I mean, I don't know where the Lakers' points are going to come from because the guys, other than their top two players, are really inconsistent. Kuzma hasn't had a good year. That's the one thing with the Rockets. Yeah, they're up and down shooting, but James is a monster. Russell Westbrook's going to get you points. But the one thing I know when Eric Gordon is healthy also is, yeah, they may be up and down shooting threes, but when they get hot, they can ruin you. The Rockets can ruin you. I don't see Quinn Cook. No Avery Bradley. I don't see Quinn Cook doing anything. I don't see Caldwell Pope doing anything. I don't see, oh, my God, Deion Waiters was as bad as advertised. You are not lying about Deion
Waiters. Yeah, I watched the dude for 3+ years.
Dude, he was Deion terrible.
He's not good.
No, he's bad. No, he's bad.
At least he was terrible in the first half. Well, I shut it down in the second
half.
That's
who he
is. I'm like, I'm good.
Deion's a complimentary player, and you don't want him taking many shots. You certainly don't want him being the initiator all the time. The signing of Deion Waiters was like, well, we're screwed here. Who's available? And that's what it was.
You know what? He actually has played pretty well this year. He's shooting 36% from
games?
The field and 13% from three. So it's not.
Yeah, he's awesome.
It's not.
What's the problem?
You know, career, he's a 34% three-point shooter, which is Rocket level.
Yeah.
He's shooting 13% this year. Now, he's only played 5 games, to be fair. But in those 5 games, pretty good basketball. He's got he's 1-to-1 assist to turnover, shooting 13% from three, 36% from the field. I mean, 41% from the field for his career. That's pretty nice. Pretty good stuff. I mean, God, it's not like he's played a ton of seasons either.
No.
He's 28, and he looks like he's 42. By the way, how old, ready? I don't think I played this game with you yet. Me and Chris Solis played this game. We were very surprised. How old do you think Madison Bumgarner is?
31.
31? He's the oldest 31-year-old I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
it really does. Well, dude's got three titles, and he was the...
I know. What happened?
He's falling apart. Dude,
what happened?
His
fastball's not the same.
He's David Duvall. He fell off from the top of the world, the most feared pitcher in baseball, to just put him on the mound because I can't wait to face him.
Better hitter than pitcher, probably.
Probably.
I mean, Madison Bumgarner was an animal. This is why Justin Verlander is, you know. Justin Verlander, to me, is going to be in that Nolan Ryan category of, he may not pitch till he's 47 or whatever, but Justin Verlander is in that special Nolan Ryan type of category where you just have a horse who has just John Smoltz, whoever you want to mention, I think he's better than Smoltzy, who has just done it. That's what's ironic about him being out this year and possibly, I don't know, could be a career ender if it's Tommy John, because he may just say, man, for what? But
for who? For what?
For who? For what? He could just shut it down. But Justin Verlander has been that guy for a long, long time. And you have a guy like Madison Bumgarner come up, and he's definitely the best pitcher in baseball at one point. And you know he's not. Cole Hamels. No, he's not. Like, you have these guys who flash and then go away. Kind of like you see, it's the golf model, right?
Yep.
Jordan Spieth, no.
Yep.
Rory McIlroy, no. And sometimes they resurge.
Yep.
And it's Justin Verlander's been like, I'm just going to keep it.
Yep.
You'll always be mentioned in my name.
Went in a side last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm hoping Garrett Cole's the same way. Oh, Garrett Cole, stinks in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'm hopeful.
857 ESPN. I don't know. That dude's pretty good. 857 ESPN 975-7378-0-3776. Look, if you're looking for that car, and you're scared, you don't want to be out there, you don't want to be going to a dealership, around people, around all those cars. I don't know why you'd be scared to be around all those cars, but if you are, that's fine. You want to do it all online? You could. And here's the thing about before COVID-19, you could have still bought online at Chastang Ford. You can't do that at other places. No. You got to come in. We didn't need you to come because they want to upsell you. Well, at Chastang Ford, no, they ain't doing that. You could do the whole deal online, never see a person. And now that's even better. That's totally sweet for you now. Well, here's the deal though. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, this is the place to go. You say, well, I want price. You got it. They're going to get that price down as low as Ford will go. Secondly, the financing, second to none. Third, the service is exceptional. It's the best. It's why they're the number one commercial Ford truck dealer in the city of Houston, because those people need that. As hard as they use their trucks, they know they can always get to Chastang, and they're going to take care of it, and they're going to take care of their vehicles for them. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, it's the best time. 84 months, 72 months. They've got nothing down, 0% financing. They've got no payments for 6 months at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. Or on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, it's Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.